This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me now is Sheena Brings Plenty. She is the co-founder of the 400 Years Project. Sheena, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. We appreciate you having us on and being here. I appreciate it.
What is the 400 Years Project?
So we are a photography collective that looks at the rights, representation, and identity of Native people through photography and in the 400 years since the landing of the Mayflower. We have several different parts to our project, from photo essays and texts to a photographer, Native photographer library. And our goal is really to center the Native voice through photography.
And why photography?
Well, two of our co-founders, Brian Adams and Sarah Stack, are both photographers. I am married to a photographer, so for the three of us, it's a passion thing. But also, it's something that Native people have sort of been left out of the narrative in. When you look at especially historic photographs of Native people, mm-hmm. they're generally done by non-Native people, and the narrative and the stories and the of it has sort of been done sans American Indians. And so, what we want to create is sort of adding to that narrative, but with the Native voice worked in there as well as everybody else, to create a kind of a more equitable, rounded out story.
Right, because so often these photos that we see, they're very much locked in time. Coming from my perspective as a white person, all of the photos that we ever saw of Indigenous peoples in history books were just this locked in time, almost as if there a was, not an are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times they were misrepresented. If you look at, I think Edward S. Curtis is one of the most prime examples of Natives in photography. And a lot of his photos are different Native people, potentially from different tribes, wearing the exact same Native style put together outfits, and so the representation of Native people was not put out there honestly. It was put out there in a very different way, sans Native people. And right. So, for us, we really want to help to fill in that archive, and create a contemporary archive of Native photography by Native people, of Native people, and the things that have happened in the past and to now, to create that full narrative.
Right. And I'm just thinking, all wearing the same kind of regalia, when even now there are 573, I believe, federally recognized tribes and pueblos. And prior to colonization, those people groups, a much bigger number. And then here, all stuck in the same outfit as if they're just one perspective that could be considered
exactly.
At all. I'm wondering why 400 years? Because certainly Indigenous peoples have been around tens of thousands of years if you look at the archaeological record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for us, 400 years obviously comes from the landing of the Mayflower was 400 years ago from 2020. That's when we started. It was in September of 2020.
Okay.
And November 2020 was the 400th anniversary of the landing of the Mayflower here in North America. And obviously, Native people were here, thousands of years before that. I live on the homelands of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians in North Carolina, and their history has been archaeologically documented to be more than 14,000 years of inhabitants on this land. And so when you look at 14,000 plus years of Native inhabitants, and then you look at our short 400 years, the reason that we went for the 400 years is because at that moment is when life and everything changed for Native people in that hint at the landing of the Mayflower 400 years ago. And so, you know, our viewpoint of Native people and the story and the histories and everything of Native people were dramatically changed from that moment on. So that's where we landed with the 400 years, because obviously Native people had come in contact with Nordic people before that. You know, there were Native people that came in contact with, you know, DeSoto and his groups even before that. And, you know, so, but the Mayflower, the landing of the Mayflower is sort of the beginning of the contemporary history of Native people in North America. And that's where we wanted to start.
Yeah. And from the perspective of the dominant culture, that story starts at the Mayflower came over. There was a land of barely inhabited savages that we civilized, and then we broke bread together and had Thanksgiving. Whew, how much of that would you like to correct?
All of it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that myth, and that's exactly what it is a myth. We've all been told in school and, you know, through the narrative that when the Mayflower arrived, the Native inhabitants just very friendly, like, moved over and everything was fine. And that's really not at all what happened. And so the Native side of that story needs to be told. And that's what we're trying to do with the 400 Years Project, is create that narrative and the Native side of that narrative so that the story is complete.
Right. Not only was it not really hunky-dory, it was a massacre, for sure among the Wampanoag people, but certainly other groups that were then in the eastern parts of the U.S.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are several tribes that were historically documented that are now extinct. I mean, and when you think about that in what is still modern-ish history, you know, only the last 400 years that you have a entire groups of people that are extinct. I mean, and that is a very big plot point to leave out of the story of the landing of the Europeans and the colonization of this country and Native people, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to fill in with the 400 Years Project, is to look at Native rights and Native identity and Native representation through the camera lens. What does that mean to Indigenous or Native people of North America? Because we do have photographers from Canada, from the United States, some from Mexico, and then one from Greenland, who all share the same history of colonization, you know, and the effects of colonization.
And I noticed that there was some special attention on the website, and it's 400yearsproject.org, the appointment of Secretary Deb Holland, Puebla of Laguna. She is the first Native woman to have a secretary-level cabinet position, and only the second Indigenous person in the cabinet at all. That's a very small number. But I'm just wondering, does that kind of representation on a federal level, even a small number, even after 400 years, is that cause for hope?
I think it definitely is. We, you know, with Secretary Holland being appointed and being confirmed, I mean, that was a huge step forward for Native people, because it's never happened before, you know, and to finally be at a point to where at the table, not just in the background, not just, you know, said, oh, well, Native people used to exist, but they don't anymore. I mean, to be seen and heard and have a position of authority, but also a position to where Native people can have a voice and some action in what is happening on Native lands, especially. I mean, the fact that she was, you know, became the secretary, that's huge for Native people. But it's also huge because it shows that, you know, how long it's taken for Native people to be at the table. You know, we're talking about 400 years of Native people being here and existing and being tribes but also not having as much of a voice as other people. So it's gone a long way, I think, toward inspiring other other people as well to see that what you can achieve now as a Native person being allowed to be at the table, you know, where in, you know, 1924 was when Native people became citizens of the United States. I mean, so, you right. know, we're not even talking
That's
about 100
when
years
my grandpa
yet
was
of
born.
Citizens. Yeah, exactly. We're not even talking about, I mean, we haven't even reached 100 years of citizenship. And so, you know, to be able to be at the table and to have those discussions and have Native voices be heard and seen is gigantic. And Deb Haaland, you know, becoming the secretary was ginormous for Native people. And on our website, we did do a special project section of a few of our photographers were taking photos of their communities when on the day that Deb Haaland was confirmed. So that was, it was just sort of a neat viewpoint of what was happening in Native communities while we were all waiting for this big confirmation.
Right. And as you mentioned, as Secretary of the Interior, she has direct oversight of land in this country. And, you know, recently there have been some attempts to scale back protections around some sacred places like Bears Ears Monument and Grand Staircase Escalante. I have also noticed lately meetings that have started with, we recognize that we are standing on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe people. And even you said you live on the traditional homelands of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, and you yourself are Winnebago, Irish, and Norwegian. Why is it important that we say that?
Well, I think it's important for several reasons. One, it goes back to the narrative of our country. And, you know, it needs to be told and told properly that Native people were here and are still here. And so just because the land was stolen or apportioned, you know, divvied up or however you want to say it and whatever the circumstances were, there were people who were on that land and whose land that was prior to colonization. And for me, as a person who is not a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, but is living on the reservation lands and the homelands of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, it's important for me to recognize and remember that I'm a guest in their community. And I think it's important for others as well to act accordingly to that mentality that we are guests on the homelands of other people. And the same thing as on a small scale, if you were to go to a friend's house and, you know, you wouldn't act a fool, essentially, as my mom used to say, you would act accordingly as being a guest. You would act respectfully. You would be helpful. You would be kind. You would be courteous. And I think that is where the reason that we need to be acknowledging whose land we're on, because we need to remember that we are guests of the land of the people that lived here before, who were not with respect, who were not treated with courtesy, who in fact were in a lot of instances and most instances treated very harshly and, you know, killed for something as simple as land. So I think it's important for people to realize exactly why and how they came to be on the land that is now considered United States property, or, you know, whatever state or federal property it might be. But I think that's the reason it's important. And I love seeing that. I think it's one of the greatest things that has come about in the last year is people giving that acknowledgement to the original inhabitants of this country.
Yeah, thank you for that, because I kind of wondered about that line between lip service and action there. But that recognition, that makes sense. You wouldn't do this at a guest's house. How did the pandemic impact this project? And that's, I'm sure, an obnoxiously huge question.
No, it's actually not. I think the pandemic you know, it was such a huge thing and is still such a huge thing for our world. And it's the one thing that kind of has brought us all to the same point. So there's a lot of connection that has happened there while we've been disconnected, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. For us with 400 years, it required us to be a lot more creative, like most people, in how we were going to build something in the year 2020 that we were just starting. And so we had to be a lot more creative about finding photographers and creating relationships with people on a personal level, to be able to create the library and to create this project that is, it's, you know, it's massive. It's a big undertaking. And so we, you know, we relied heavily on Zoom and phone calls and social media. Social media was huge for us. Particularly Instagram was huge for us, to be able to connect with people and connect with photographers and connect with, you know, people in the world, but across the country and across North America, who have the same kind of common goals that we have and common ideals that we have. So the pandemic made us just be a little more creative, but luckily we're creative people.
Right. So, yeah. Opens up new channels in the brain, right?
Right, exactly.
What's been the reaction to the project?
The reaction has been wonderful. We've seen a lot of interest on our social media pages growing. Our Instagram in particular has almost 3,200 followers, which is huge for any small project that's only been going just a few months. We've had, you know, lots of photographers and non-photographers alike from all different areas and all different backgrounds and all different nationalities. Following our project and engaging and sharing. So that's been really exciting, just to be kind of accepted in the larger photography community. We've also had a lot of gestures of support since our launching in September, or starting in September and launching in November with our website. We've been invited to speak at universities, both here in the States and in Canada. We have spoken at photography summits, which are great, great, great places, you know, where lots of photographers from all different backgrounds come together. And then we've also been contacted by people and organizations who are interested in archives, who are interested in what we're doing, and who are using us as a resource to find other Native projects or people or information. There was a person who contacted us just recently who was asking for real, true Native resources to find Native art. And then we've received donations. If anybody is interested in donating to our project, you can go to 400yearsproject.org, scroll all the way to the bottom, and we do accept donations to help us pay for photographers and photo stories and essays. So,
what do you hope is the future of this project?
For us, we want to engage as many people as possible and really get the information out there that the Native story, the Native side of the narrative, since the landing of the Mayflower, is here, and it is centralized, and it is important to know. But also, we want to be a hub and an archive going forward, sort of a contemporary archive for Native photographers. In national archives, it's really, really hard to find Native photographers because they're usually not listed by ethnicity. Mm. And so, again, Native photographers end up being left out of the conversation a lot of times. And so as we grow, we want to, you know, offer as many opportunities to our Native photographers and allies as we can. We hope to, you know, continue to grow the library portion, which is 100% Native, all Native photographers from amateurs and enthusiasts all the way up to complete professionals, you know, and everywhere in between. And just really allow Native people through their lens to tell their stories, to share their history, to talk about things that are important to them, and to really reach that wider audience.
And you can look at all of the photos and read some of the text from the photo essays at 400yearsproject.org. Sheena Brings Plenty is one of the co-founders of the project. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.